Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Millions of Americans are on prescription drugs. For some, the price for those prescriptions can be so high they are forced to go without. Several groups are fighting for transparency when it comes to the cost of prescription drugs, along with the research and development costs, and they're looking to Congress to fight what they are calling Big Pharma. One of those groups is the Campaign for Sustainable Prescription Pricing. They want to see bipartisan, market-based solutions to rein in high prices and create competition and lower drug prices for patients across America. We're joined today by spokesman John Conradi. Welcome, John, to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
How do things get so out of control? It's sometimes, you know, when something, you know, happens like this, people think, is it my imagination that the prices are out of control? What are people saying about what happened?
Well, you know, really, we've seen this crisis escalate at really a rapid pace over the last couple of years. You know, over the last 5 years, brand name prescription drugs have increased in price at 10 times the rate of inflation. And we're seeing those brand name drugs manufactured by very large pharmaceutical companies that are really the drivers of price hikes and therefore then taxpayer spending on Medicare, Medicaid that are affected by price hikes and the pain that American patients feel at the pharmacy counter. The reason those companies are able to continually hike price is because they've engaged in anti-competitive practices that have kept potential generic or biosimilar competitors from coming into the marketplace and competing and therefore lowering prices.
All right. So anti-competitive practices. Elaborate on what exactly is going on behind the scenes.
So a perfect example is something that a bipartisan proposal in Congress right now would tackle. It's called the CREATES Act. And what it targets is a practice employed by big pharma manufacturers that keeps potential generic competitors from getting access to samples of a brand name drug that those companies need in order to clear their generic version through FDA approvals. So it sounds sort of ridiculous and gimmicky to the average person, but it's those kind of gimmicks that pharmaceutical manufacturers use to keep competitors from entering the market, and not just by a couple of weeks. These games often go on for years where they prevent and issue all sorts of excuses, prevent generic manufacturers from getting access to the samples that they need to clear FDA testing. The problem got so bad that FDA recently departed FDA Commissioner Gottlieb actually had the FDA start publishing a kind of a naming and shaming list of pharmaceutical manufacturers who are engaging in those tactics to keep generics manufacturers from getting those samples.
So how long is that process supposed to take when a new medicine comes on the market? How long before there's a generic alternative? What's reasonable?
So the kind of the standard period of exclusivity that clearly Congress intended and that most folks in the space agree is reasonable is a 20-year period of exclusivity for a truly new invention. And this is where you sort of, there's kind of a line between invention and innovation, that and Big Pharma has used that distinction and kind of and twisted it to new levels in order to extend patent protection on a number of the top-selling drugs. Take Humira, for instance, which is the top-selling drug in the United States, treats arthritis, psoriasis, a number of other conditions. Its manufacturer, AbbVie, has filed over 200 patents on Humira, including for things as ridiculous as changing the pill coating. But these extra patents and these patent thickets have helped extend their exclusivity on the drug to 36 years, so 16 years beyond what's considered the standard 20-year period of exclusivity, and we've seen them then also regularly increase the price of Humira because there is no competitor.
Mm. So Humira is a good example because we've all seen the ads. So what's the role of advertising pharmaceutical drugs? Because that hasn't been around all that long. I certainly remember a time when we first started seeing medicine ads on television with all their warnings and storytelling and whatnot. What's the role of advertising and marketing? How is that feeding into the problem, the challenges, or the solutions?
Well, you know, we just saw a report that found that drug makers are spending more on advertising than they ever have before, a whopping nearly $7 billion spent by the industry on advertising their products in just 2018. And it's really indicative of how the industry seeks to boost its own sales, seeks to boost the name ID of its brand name drugs, particularly you find before a generic is able to come into market, a big push by the brand name manufacturer to promote the branded drug to make sure that that there's high awareness of that brand out in the marketplace. But one other thing that the boosted advertising dollars really showcase is that the kind of R&D rhetoric, the research and development rhetoric from Big Pharma is a mile wide and an inch deep. Drug makers like to say that rising prices and big revenues are necessary to support research into innovative new cures. But what we've seen is that these same drug makers spend more on advertising and corporate overhead and profits than they do actually investing in R&D.
Let's talk about that, because this is a business, you know, as well. They're not, they are for-profit companies. And I think a lot of people, we could have people calling us in all day with personal stories, but one of my personal stories is someone I know whose cancer, the pill that they're being treated with right now didn't exist 2 years ago when they first got diagnosed. So it seems like these advancements and these innovations are coming at lightning speed, and the pharmaceutical companies are saying, exactly, and that is expensive because we're at this place in history where we're leaping forward in advancement. It's going to cost money. What else is happening underneath that? Elaborate a little bit more on what you said about not only the advertising budgets, but the overhead for some of these companies.
Well, that's exactly right. And everyone wants innovation to continue and to continue to increase in pace to make sure that there's life-saving cures. But these life-saving cures don't benefit the American people if folks can't afford them. And that's really why we believe, as a kind of broad-based coalition of leaders in the healthcare space, that the American people and patients need market-based reforms now in order to increase competition and to lower prices. And that's why, you know, the period of exclusivity is there to keep the incentive in place for true invention and innovation. But when you have pharmaceutical manufacturers engaging in things like evergreening, where they continually file patents to block generic competitors from coming into the market for things like pill casings and pill colors, things that have no impact on how a drug actually treats a condition or a disease. Those things are clear gimmicks meant to boost profits and revenues that we've seen increasingly go towards advertising, things like advertising and overhead, instead of go towards researching new cures.
Tell us about the campaign for sustainable prescription pricing. You mentioned bipartisan. Who are you? Who is this group made up? Who's all on board trying to make these changes?
So CSRXP is really a broad-based coalition of leaders. It includes everyone from physicians and nurses, hospital groups, consumers, health plans, PBMs, pharmacists, businesses, and the AARP, all coming together to promote these market-based solutions that will increase competition, boost transparency, and lower prices.
Let's talk about transparency, because that's a frustrating thing for many consumers. Do consumers, you know, how does transparency help the patient?
Well, right now we have very little, almost no insight into how drug makers determine when and how to increase prices. They're free as companies to increase price without providing any justification at all to anyone, really, except their investors. So a number of solutions would seek to boost transparency in that area by requiring drug makers to, not barring them from being able to increase price, but require them to justify why a price hike might be needed or why they want to increase a price on a major brand name drug, particularly when it exceeds a certain rate over a several year period. And those kind of things are really important in the overall discussion, because what we've seen from drug makers is that they will increase price as much as they feel they can get away with from an optics standpoint, sort of how much they feel they can charge for a drug before the court of public opinion sees that as price gouging. So increasing transparency can really help hold Big Pharma's feet to the fire by increasing awareness and knowledge for both policymakers and consumers.
And that brings us to this this notion of when you go to see your pharmacist, and I know I've paid for one medication $25, and I've paid $250 for the exact same inhaler, for example. And the pharmacist has been really engaged in finding me a coupon or finding me some kind of, industry discount. Talk a little bit about how that is unfolding, because there are hidden costs to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think many folks in the industry from a wide variety of standpoints want there to be more choices for consumers, want folks throughout the system to be empowered to get better results, to get the best price possible for the patient at the pharmacy counter. But we have to remember that proposed solutions can oftentimes carry negative side effects that would outweigh their potential benefits. And a perfect example of that is a proposal from the administration and the Department of Health and Human Services called a rebate rule. And what the rebate rule really seeks to do is ban what are called rebates in the drug supply system. And these rebates are negotiated savings that pharmacy benefit managers negotiate from drug makers. They're a price concession. They're really the only existing tool in the system that does bring down price. The idea, if it worked, would bring down prices for consumers at the pharmacy counter, but it relies on a flawed, really fundamentally flawed notion that pharmaceutical manufacturers will continue to lower prices by the full amount of existing rebates when there's nothing in the rule that incentivizes or compels them to do so. But at the same time, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan analyst for the government, CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, have found that the rule would hike premiums on seniors who rely on Medicare Part D for their prescription drug coverage and come at tremendous cost to the tune of nearly $200 billion. To American taxpayers. So the rebate rule is really an example of a misguided diagnosis for the problem. And we really encourage policymakers to turn away from proposals like that and to focus on these market-based solutions.
How is this affecting state budgets then from a state and a perspective?
Well, certainly there's a lot of concern. If something like the rebate rule, which would be one of the most expensive regulations in American history, if that went through, what that could do to state budgets. The federal government currently carries the entire burden for Medicare. It's on the Medicaid side where there's cost sharing with states, but there would be increased costs to Medicaid, the CBO found, associated with the rebate rule, so that would impact state budgets. And I think state policymakers are carefully watching what's happening in Washington. If we can lower prescription drug prices across the board by introducing more competition, that will bring down the costs for taxpayers at both the state and federal level. And those are the kind of solutions that we're really hoping policymakers engage on.
From that federal level, who in the U.S. House or Senate is at the forefront of that effort then to bring about more competition?
You know, there are a number of commendable solutions coming from both sides of the aisle. Senators Cassidy and Durbin introduced a solution called the Remedy Act that targets exactly some of the patent abuse and patent thicketing issues that we were going over earlier. The CREATES Act is also has bipartisan sponsors. David Cicilline from Rhode Island, a Democrat, and Jim Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, a Republican, sponsored the CREATES Act in the House. And that measure, along with a number of other commendable market-based solutions, have already been moved through the House Energy and Commerce Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, and should be hopefully coming to a vote by the full House floor soon. So there's a number of positive developments happening in Washington. Certainly Senator Grassley and Senator Wyden on the Senate Finance Committee have been working together to raise the profile of this issue and to seek solutions. Actually, today, Senator Graham from South Carolina in the Senate Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing looking at this exact issue of patent abuse and talking about the need to pass legislation like CREATES. So there is an encouraging amount of bipartisan activity happening in Washington. We just need to make sure that it translates into concrete action.
Tell me about some of the challenges then, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of money to be made and there's a lot of money at stake. How high is the hill that needs to be climbed?
Well, you know, Big Pharma is not going to roll over. And we've actually seen in the first quarter of this year, Big Pharma increased its spending on lobbying to record levels. It's engaged in essentially a blame game, pointing the fingers at others in the drug supply chain and promoting misguided ideas like the rebate rule that would actually benefit their business and give them more power in the drug supply chain without any guarantee of lowering prices. So that's why it's just so critical that with so much happening, that policymakers and consumers are really aware of what the effects would be of each proposed solution, because Big Pharma is actively engaged in trying to divert attention in other directions.
Have we seen direction from the White House? What is President Trump saying about the cost of prescription drugs in America? What's his leadership look like on this?
You know, the administration has made lowering prescription drug prices one of their top priorities, and they're engaged in active discussions with Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. It may be one of the only areas in a deeply divided Washington where there's a true chance for big bipartisan progress. And we've seen the administration has gotten behind solutions like the CREATES Act and others that are market-based solutions. They've led the charge on wanting more transparency, particularly in the direct-to-consumer advertising from large drug makers. But the administration has also put forward this rebate rule that would come at tremendous cost to Part D seniors and taxpayers. That's why it's so important that folks really get engaged to make sure that policymakers, both in Congress and in the administration, kind of stay on the right track.
And let's close with this, John. What are some of the human stories that you're hearing? As you know, we talk about the big picture and the policy, but this really affects people's lives. What sort of stories are you hearing as you gain support for the conversation? What are people telling you?
You know, one in four Americans can't afford their prescription medications, according to a recent study. And in a country like the United States of America, that's really a heart-wrenching statistic to hear. We've heard in congressional testimony from witnesses stories of mothers who have had to make the decision of whether to put food on the table or whether they're able to afford their children's insulin. These are the kind of human stories that need to be heard, that we applaud Congress for increasingly bringing forward and giving voice to, and the reason that action needs to be taken now to lower the price of prescription drugs.
John Conradi is with the Campaign for Sustainable Prescription Pricing. It's a bipartisan effort to deal with transparency and bringing down the cost of prescription drugs in America. John, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me.